Next on News for the Soul, Bridging Realms with Becca. Becca believes our pain has the power to set us free if we are brave enough to access it. As is a survivor of sexual, physical, and emotional abuse, she used shadow work and her ability to communicate with spirit in the unseen realms to move through helplessness, self-blame, and humiliation and reclaim her life. Through training in energy healing and shadow work, energy tantra, and archetypal embodiment, Becca now uses her knowledge to empower other women to unleash their own power, speak their truth, and reclaim full acceptance of who they are. Please welcome Becca back to News for the Soul.
Hello, my people. It is Miss Becca. I have missed you for a while. And here I am back, not knowing what we're doing today. I used my own experience of the abuse that I have experienced and the shadow work I used to recover to talk about what I do and to help all of you guys and to help other women be able to step into their own power and out of the conditioning of abuse themselves. Forgive me, my voice is a hot mess. I got that evil throat coffee thing, and then I got allergy trauma, and so here we are. What I'm hearing from other light workers is that if you're having throat problems right now, we are clearing humiliation out of the throat and clearing helplessness, actually, as well, out of that area. So it's really interesting how many people are having this problem. But I have missed you. Spirit has conspired for some reason to keep me off the air for the last couple of times, so I apologize to you guys. And today I have no idea what it is we're talking about because Spirit has yet to tell me. But I wanted to start with three questions that came in last time I was on the air that I was unable to get to. And today, if you have any questions, depending on whatever we end up talking about, please feel free to call in at 646-595-4274 and either ask to be connected to me live on the show or you can drop your question with the switchboard. Okay, so interesting question. A while ago, Miss Anna in Miami asked, I'm curious, what is your take on the recent shadow beings that were seen in Miami at the mall? They looked to me like actual shadow interdimensional beings. Do you have any info on that? So I did not see this. I don't know what we're talking about. But usually when I'm talking about shadow stuff, it's internal self-reflection shadow, not necessarily beings. But there's a lot going on in the world right now. And what I know is there's a lot more light blasting this planet than there ever has been before. So if you've been paying attention to the fact that we've been able to, like, what was it, the 11th through the 13th of May, we were able to see aurora borealis pretty much all throughout the United States. That's a lot of light, babies. And when the light increases, so does a lot of other things, because there's balance. And can't have one without the other. There's a lot of stuff on this planet that, how do I say this? We've been told isn't really here, but it is and it has been. So there's a lot of, like, how arrogant is it of us to think that the universe is as big as it is and we're the only ones alive on a planet? Like, no. And, you know, most of mainstream anything doesn't even talk about the unseen world, which is what, to me, this Miss Anna's question is about. So there are a lot of things that this could be. There are a lot of things it couldn't be. I find, don't worry about this stuff unless it comes right up into my grill. A lot of stuff is also there to spread fear when people are showing us these things, so who even knows what's real anymore. But what I would say is, don't worry about it. The world is giving us a lot more, expanding itself in ways that we have not seen before. So to think we know what's going to happen, what things are and what they mean, right now in any capacity is going to be hard to pin down. So no, I do not have any info on that. Tanya in New York says, I am so isolated a lot and don't know how to break out of that. I'm stuck in my head too much and it sounds like a simple fix should do it, but I've now been stuck in this pattern for years and I need help. Forgive me while I take sips of things here so I can continue to talk. Miss Tanya, if you are listening, honey, I see you. I'm interested to know why you're isolated a lot. Let me see. Let me tune into the energy of this. A lot of the times we isolate because we feel like we don't fit in. We feel like we don't belong. And the stuck in my head too much that you're mentioning sounds like it could also be a lot of self-doubt or a lot of negative self-talk around why you need to stay isolated. Yes, to the mind, it sounds like a simple fix because the mind goes, there's a problem. I know what the answer is. To the rest of your nervous system, it is not a simple fix. I am so sorry to hear that you've been stuck in this pattern for years. And I do hear that you need help. The first thing that I would do is drop into, like, what are you feeling around this? Like, just ask yourself a series of questions and answer them honestly, meaning stop trying to get the answers right and actually answer from a place of what you feel. So from a lot of people that have been conditioned into our heads, we learned that love was attached to a checklist, okay? So we learned, like, behave this way, behave that way. I'll love you if you do it this way, if you get it right. If you do this, that, and the other thing, live by these standards. When that happens, and it happens to us younger, it happens before we have any rationale, before we can think for ourselves. So what we learn is, I have to meet mommy or daddy's checklist in order to get love, right? And of course, they don't necessarily mean this to do this to us intentionally. It's just what happens. So our little boy or little girl brains learn love is attached to me doing it right. And we become these people that turn into adults and become achievers in the world. And we think we're going to be happy if we check all the check boxes on our little list of things that we're supposed to like, supposed to do, supposed to feel, and in the ways that we're supposed to do it, okay? That's all our head and our ego operating to get it right, working to get the love in a certain way that people lined it up for us to get it for whatever reason they did that, okay? As adults, becoming aware of this, which is when I read this question, what it sounds like, is your heart's waking up because that's also what's happening on the planet. Ego is dying right now, my friend. And I don't mean ego in the sense of like, I'm a narcissist or I'm egoic and I think highly of myself. I mean it in the way that we've been conditioned to use our minds, which is to keep our ego alive. So exactly what I'm talking about. Checklists, getting it right, doing for others, fitting in at the expense of ourselves, which means at the expense of our hearts. And these last astrological events, pretty much over this month, are literally wiping the ego that knows how to do these things off the planet. So a lot of people are going to become disoriented because we're no longer able to check to see how we're doing by checking it up against our past, right? Where we used to go, oh, well, am I doing it by the checklist? Am I doing it this? Am I doing it that? All of that is wiped out, like being wiped off the planet, wiped out of your mind, wiped out of everything. So you might be feeling a little weird right now. Why is this happening? Because the heart is becoming our new primary operating system. And the heart and the egoic mind cannot operate in the same space. because they don't agree. Our little egoic mind has been conditioned to doubt our heart, not to listen to it, and to go out of its way to make sure that we do everything but drop in how we feel. But right now, that is turned on. It's becoming primary. This is happening whether you're trying to do it or not, okay? All the astrology is supporting this. Everything in that's happening energetically right now is supporting this. So when you're saying, I've been stuck in this pattern for years and I need help, but you're literally naming the problem, that tells me that your heart is speaking. Miss Tanya, your heart is the one going, what about me? And it's waking up and it's starting to gnaw at the rest of you that has been using your mind for so long. So it's not simple. It's going to take time. But what I would suggest to you as quote-unquote homework is when you are evaluating things or trying to suss something out or make a decision, anything along those lines, instead of going, well, how do I think, what do I think about this and weighing this against that and is this the right thing to do? Instead of doing any of that, use your new operating system and ask yourself, how does this make me feel? How do I feel about this? Does it excite me or does it make me want to do something else, like run away? Does it make me want to anything? You know, does it make me feel heavy? Do I not want to do it? And I want you to literally feel into it. Use your gut. And if you haven't had access to this, it's different. It's not instinct because you may have lost access to that. It's literally like if you put the problem, imagine the problem in your gut. Take whatever you're trying to figure out, put it in your gut and see what moves around down there. Like literally feel that. What does it feel like to hold that question in your gut? And keep these questions yes or no instead of open-ended so that you can get a yes or no answer from yourself, okay? When we ask open-ended questions, it's a little harder unless you've been doing this work a while, right? So it like, should I move out or should I stay here, right? And then I want you to literally feel what happens in your gut. Feel what your body is saying to you. One is going to go like when we were little, right? Where it's like, you either get this really expansive, excited feeling or you get this really heavy feeling. It's very, very subtle, but it's there. So practice that for like 30 days, 21 to 30 days. And if you're listening to this, I'd love to know how this turns out for you, okay? So call back and let me know. Maria in New York. How do I know what's in my shadow? Oh, good question. I like this question. So Ms. Maria, you ask yourself questions that we maybe haven't ever asked ourselves before. Like, what am I afraid of? What things do I judge or have judgment on or about? What people do I judge? What do I judge about other people? What triggers me? What triggers my fears? What triggers my anger? What triggers my happiness, if you have access to that? What triggers my joy? What triggers my shame? When do I feel these things? These are questions that we don't ask ourselves because they're subconscious. It's a subconscious reactionary world that we live in where it's like, I'm not necessarily aware I have shame around something until it comes up, somebody says something and I feel shame. And I'm usually, most people trying to run away from that. Like, I don't want to feel shame. I don't want to admit I have shame, right? These are things that we hide from ourselves. That is shadow. We operate from places we don't even know we're running from. And your shadow are the places where it hides. So it goes like underground. You know, I always think of like roaches going underneath the refrigerator when the lights come on, right? And they're always going into shadow. So when we shine light, it goes deeper into shadow, which is subconscious. That's what shadow is. So you ask questions about how your subconscious is triggered or has responses to things. And then you feel into those answers, right? So I wouldn't pick like, oh, that one time is overwhelming. Like you could go a year probably on just one question and get deeper and deeper and deeper around it. These places are really, really big places to hang out, right? Shame, huge topic. So many places to hide in here, right? So many places to not admit things. Judgment, how many of us admit we judge people? And yet we're human, humans judge, that's part of what we do. It's just an innate capability or an innate way of being that is part, that is automatically a part of who we are. Okay? But after doing this work, I'm a human. I know I judge people. I was trained by one of the best people in the world to judge people, my family. And my mom is still a really big judger. She judges everything. That's how she runs her world. Now, I no longer have, judgment on her for that. It's the way she stays safe. And she doesn't know how to go any deeper, and she's not interested in going any deeper. So I accept her for where she is. And I love that she trained me into judgment, because what that also woke up is my healer. So I now use where I was trained to see judgment in order to see where people need healing. It's very easy for me to see where people judge themselves without them necessarily even speaking to it. It's easy for me to see where they hold shame without them speaking to it, because I know these languages really, really well. I also have my own shame and my own judgment that I have worked with intimately on a regular basis for a very long time. So I know how to work with those energies. And if we could remove half of the fear we have around these things, judgment, shame, humiliation, whatever it is, anger that we're trying to hide, like it would just free us up so much. Like, can you imagine just being able to freely talk about it without having to worry about what you're saying, without people judging you for what you're talking about? But a lot of times, how we judge people and where we hold shame says a lot about where we are missing ourselves, right? So, example. I know a lot of places like where I judge others is because part of me is jealous that they have some capability that I don't, right? That's one of my big ones. So I know when I'm judging people, I found that I judge people where it's like, she takes up a lot of space. She has no trouble being the center of attention, right? And I hate that. Or whatever. And what it's shown me, what that has shown me about me, is I wish I could take up space like that. I wish I had no problem being the center of attention. So now that I know that, I can actually work on taking up more space. Right? Or on not being as afraid to be the center of attention. Right? Like here with you guys, I can do that here. I know you're also not in the same room with me, so it's a little different. I can still hide behind a microphone, but here I am working it out, okay? So it offers us places to look at the places we hide from ourselves. And then if you use it in the way it's meant to be used, you can use it as a ladder to access more spaces of yourself that are actually here to be seen, to be heard, to be authentically out loud you. A lot of the stupidness around some of this stuff, like judgment and all this other stuff, right? Like when I say I judge, people who are the center of attention or take up too much space, I have to pay attention to where some of this came from and where it came from in my life, and where a lot of, I think, stuff comes from is comparison. So if I'm taking up space, that means you have to be quiet. That's 100% bullshit. I want everybody taking up their space. I want everybody taking space. There's no, but I learned that when growing up. My mom needed the space, and if I was ever in the spotlight for whatever reason, that got smashed out of me. And what I learned is, oh, I'm always in competition, so I'll always stay out of the spotlight so whoever else needs it can have it. It's not correct. We can all be in the spotlight. She can be in the spotlight, and so can I. Everybody's got their own spotlight. All right, we got some more questions here. Holly in New York, I need advice on reclaiming my power in a controlled abusive marriage of 30 years. Oof. Is it possible to heal enough to stay? Yikes. Oh, Holly, honey. First of all, my heart is going out to you, okay? Secondly, you're not going to like my answer to this. Abuse and control, when those two things are going together, you're never going to be equal in that relationship because the person that needs to heal isn't only you, okay? And there's no way to be in that environment and heal from it while in that environment because as long as you're walking around on eggshells, there's no way to step into who you fully are. The way that you, that the environment that you need to be provided to heal needs to be expansive enough for you to feel into safely where you can expand, where you're allowed to stand up for yourself, where you get to use your anger, where you get to be you without any kind of restriction. And if you don't have that space, it's not going to work real well for you. My question is, it sounds like you've got some conflict happening here. Is it possible to heal enough to stay? There's some piece of you, I'm just feeling into this, I may totally be wrong, but that enough to stay part sounds like the little girl you, and it sounds like she's used to this kind of behavior. And when we do that, it's we're making it about the other person. Like, I love you so much, I don't want to leave. And that's, I'm not calling you a little girl. I mean the part of you that is younger that lives in all of us. It's like, it's what I call, if this is a man that you're in a relationship with, it's like daddy-daughter, little girl situation. You know, when you're little and it's like, daddy, daddy, tell me I'm pretty, tell me I'm this. And if you get smacked around, you learn a very different version of this and you start seeking men that are treating you the same as that. So I'm just going out on a limb here, feeling into this and saying your little girl is probably the one that really needs a hug right now. And she really needs to know, I want her to know that if anything I'm saying is hitting home, she is worth more than this relationship. Your life, your well-being, your power, and the adult part of you that's asking about reclaiming her power, she, the adult part knows that. And the little girl is still looking to whoever you're in relationship with to feel special. So what I'm going to suggest to you, if I'm right about any of this, is turn that little girl, like in your mind right now, close your eyes as long as you're not driving, or doing any operating heavy machinery. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to feel into this. And I want you to see in your mind's eye your adult you or your queen you. I call her your queen, who's got it all in the bag, whether you know how to or not, she's in there. And I want you to also envision your little girl. And while your little girl is looking at whoever you're in a relationship right now, with, I want your little girl to turn around away from him and look at your queen. And I want you guys to just look at each other, okay? Because everything that little girl wants, how to feel special, how to be in her power, Queenie's got it. You're not going to find it over there in him. You find it right here with her. And I know it's not what she wants to hear. And I'm not saying you're never going to find whoever it is that will be there for you. But right now, she needs to learn how to be with herself, not with somebody else who's hurting her. Because Queen fights for her, not against her. And if you can do some of this work, it will strengthen something in you. Until you learn or you start feeling, maybe this relationship is not the best thing for me right now. Okay? But I am sending you all my love and energy and, yeah, just big giant hugs to you, woman, because this is, it's hard to navigate getting out of this. So I don't have any judgment on you for asking this question. I just really want to speak to all the parts that are present here, okay? All right. Miss Darlene in California, thanks for your show. You're welcome. What can I do to strengthen my energy boundaries in a healthy way? Oh, all right. Energy boundaries. Let me feel into this here with you. Okay. All right. So if I'm right on what I'm feeling into, Miss Darlene, you are what we call an empath, which means you have the ability to feel into any situation and like absorb what has happened. Like you can walk into a room and feel like any pain that might be in the room. Somebody across the way, you're like, oh my God, her heart feels broken. You're like, it may not be conscious. So what this becomes about for you, if that's true, is knowing what belongs to other people and knowing what's yours. So my guess is I would say work situationally right now. So you can practice. Practice walking into a room and notice how you feel. Like when you say something, energy boundaries, do you need energy boundaries in that moment? Or are you picking up somebody else's stuff and you think you need a boundary around it? Or is somebody like siphoning your energy and you don't know how to say stop, no, don't, right? Or walk away, because something in you is like, it's rude to walk away from people while they're siphoning off my energy and they won't let me leave. Yeah, they might consider it rude, but you're you. So it becomes about using like alignment. So your words, your energy, and your body all have to be in the same space to use a boundary, okay? So I'm going to break that down and tell you what I mean by that, okay? So if I want to tell somebody, like they're going, oh my God, let's go have coffee. I haven't talked to you in 20 years, and I really just want to talk to you for the next 3 hours. And I'm like, oh God, no, I really don't want to do this, okay? I'm going to just say, no, I can't right now. And I'm actually not interested in catching up with you. You know, I love that you're seeing me after all this time, but I have a lot on my plate and I'm just not interested in spending my energy here right now. Right? Okay. Now, some of you may say, wow, she's a bitch. Wow, she's a dick. What the hell? I'm being honest. And one of the most important things I've learned is clear is kind. Because if I were to do this, oh, that sounds really great. I would love to, but I really have to go do this thing right now. So can you feel what's happening in my energy right now? Oh, well, you can hear the lie. And I have to betray my own energy to do this right now. I'm not interested in, oh, I wish I could. That's a lie. I don't wish I could. I don't want to. Oh, maybe we can try later. No, I have no interest in doing this later. Why do we do this? We do this because we've been trained to be polite, especially as women. Let me tell you right now, all right? My program website is not called Dark Goddess Academy for nothing, all right? My Dark Goddess is honest as fucking hell. She's going to speak her truth, and she doesn't give a shit. Who knows about it? All right? I love her. This is why I love her. Because even when the part of me inside here wants to say something like, oh, I wish I could, my truth is, I don't. I don't want to. And I'm going to save you a lot of bullshit right now because I don't want to lie to you. So I'm telling you I'm not interested. But have a great day. Okay? It's just nice. If when my energy doesn't match, this is how we get ourselves into trouble, women. Just FYI, right? Because we don't move away from the man whose energy we're afraid of on the street because we think we're being impolite or mean or making up racial things about people or whatever it is. Whatever the thing you tell yourself not to listen to your instincts is harming you. And I'm not saying it's okay to be racist, but it's like sometimes there are reasons that these worries pop into your head. And again, I'm not promoting being afraid of everything. I'm saying listen to yourself. Because when we try to be nice over being honest, we get ourselves into situations like abuse that we can't get out of sometimes. And if we were just honest with ourselves to the best of ability, when all our alarms are going off, if you have those alarms, some of us have happened so many times, we don't have alarms, and that's okay too. But if your alarms are going off, I need you guys to listen to this stuff, and I need you to be honest about what's happening. I need you to say no. So when my energy is no, and I'm going, well, okay, what if I'm doing that with a rapist that's standing in front of me? Hey, little girl, how are you doing? I'm fine. I'm good. No, fucking run. All right? I want you guys to start listening to yourself. Stop being nice and start listening to your no. And this isn't, I'm not yelling at you, Darlene. I just am very passionate about this. Okay. I'm yelling for you, not at you. Because you guys have been lied to about how to be polite. And I really want to smack the people that lied to us about this. That's where this is coming from. So, Darlene, I would say practice making sure that your energy is aligned with the words coming out of your mouth. So when you mean no, you're saying no and your energy is no. Right? Stop. Don't. That's a no for me. You can feel the energy behind what I'm saying, right? But if I'm like, no, I don't want to, what's happening is I'm saying, no, I don't want to, but my energy is like, yeah, okay. Right? But if my no is clear and my energy is like, no, stop. I do not want to do this. And again, as women, we have been trained to be polite, demure, and quiet. You want to learn how to get yourself together in the land of boundaries, women here? I want you to practice, even if it's like in your house, in a dark room with lots of padding, say no, loud and clear. And I want you to say it like you mean it, like you're at self-defense class and you're going to kick someone in the nuts. No. The first time I had to try to do that, I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. I just started crying. I've never been allowed to have my no. All right? We need to start learning some of this stuff. So that would be some of my advice to you, Ms. Darlene. Okay. Dana in the UK, how do you know someone is taking your power away? I feel I'm so conditioned early in life that I sometimes take people at face value and I just don't see it until it's too late. Oh, sweetheart, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yep, and I see you. Let me see. How do you know someone is taking your power away? Okay. This is easy for me. So when you feel you have to shrink, when you feel you have to stay silent, when you feel you want to cry but you have to pretend that you don't, when you feel that you have to pretend to be anything other than the truth of what you are in any given moment, that's when someone's taking your power away. And I don't even call it someone taking my power away. It's I mean, it depends. But I'm also giving it away because I'm agreeing with them that they get to take it, right? That's the shadow part. You don't necessarily know you're doing that, but it's happening on a subconscious level. Probably, as you say, because you've been conditioned early on, because this is learned before you were able to develop your normal reaction to it in childhood development. That's the problem. We learn how to get railroaded before we learn that child development piece about saying no. Or when we get, you know, the two-year-olds that are like, no, no, mine, no. If we don't get that, or we get hit or yelled at for saying that shit, we learn our voice doesn't matter. We learn our no doesn't matter. And we learn that we don't matter. All right? It breaks my freaking heart that this is what happens. This is why I do what I do, to undo the damage that's been done right in this space here, okay? That's why saying no is very important. But I want you to, any place you feel yourself hiding, or, oh, I have to show up the way he wants me to show up. Oh, I have to show up this way for them to love me. Oh, I can't, you know, I'm with a bunch of well put together women, but I'm really a goth, but I don't dress that way. I dress as one of these women and I feel awkward and uncomfortable because this isn't what I'm comfortable in. I'm comfortable in my goth stuff, but if I dress that way, they won't accept me for who I am. Right. Here's the thing. Until you accept you for who you are and are willing to step into what you are and be fully head to toe what you are inside and out, you don't have a chance of anybody else getting to know you. Because you're showing them someone you're not, not who you are. And you want to start saying yes to you and no to other people. And you know what, you guys? I feel what you're feeling, because I feel the huge question that's coming up in the ethers right now is, what if they reject me? And you know what? This could be family, friends, all of it, job, whatever. You're not wrong. They may reject you. They probably will. Okay? And here's the thing, because they're not your people. They're not your people. But you've been running from being rejected for so long that you've sacrificed yourself to belong with people that you don't belong with. Okay? There's nothing wrong with this. It's going to break some pattern. It's going to break your heart. But right now, the way you're getting love isn't the way you deserve it. You deserve so much more than what you are receiving. You deserve to be loved by people who treat you well. You deserve to be loved by people who accept you for who you are, your weirdness, your freak flag, your funness. Your expression is part of who you are. I want to be with people who get to express all sides of themselves. You know, I don't want to just belong to this small, tiny little clan. I want to belong to a big, tight-knit group of people whose diversity is all over the place. That's strength to me. So, Dana, start challenging places where you might be hiding right now, or making yourself small, or not saying the thing when you want to say the thing, right? You don't have to necessarily say it, and then if I don't say it, I'm failing. I just want you to play with this. Say it to yourself to start. You know, even if you're with people where it's like, they all want to go to Italian and I want Chinese, but I can't get that out of my mouth right now. Okay. Say it in your head. I want Chinese. I don't want to go to Italian. Even if you still go, I don't care. That's step one. This is not a quick and easy done process. This is long term work, you guys. All right. So I want you to know that. And I hope that's helpful. All righty. Sharon Lynn in Canada. Hold on one second. I got to take a sip of this. I've been avoiding an intimate relationship for many years. I had dysfunctional relationships before. And even though I intellectually know There's a highest self-relationship possibility. I do not feel confident in my ability to find it. Mm. Ready to give up and stay alone. I don't know what to do. Is it worth the risk? Okay, hold on. I got to go back through here again. Ms. Cheryl Lynn, and thank you for your question. Let's see. Okay. I had dysfunctional relationships before. I'm interested to know a little more about that. And even though I intellectually know there's a highest self-relationship possibility, I don't feel confident in my ability to find it. I don't feel confident in my ability to find it. Okay, so that sentence right there, this sounds like something or some long-term either situation or multiple situations have chipped away at your ability to really trust yourself. Because here's what I know about this. When I trust myself, I don't have to trust anyone outside of me. Right? When I know that I can, that I trust myself enough to say no and do what I need to do to protect myself, I don't care. I don't need to trust anybody else. So then it's just like, I'm not interested in this. And you're talking to somebody, well, you're not talking, you're listening, but Ms. Cheryl Lynn, to somebody who has not been in a relationship in a long time. I don't even know. Fuck. I don't even know how long it's been. It's been a long ass time. Over 20 years. Okay? And I know this too. I know there's a possibility. I haven't given up on it, but I'm not necessarily actively seeking it because the relationship I work on with myself is more important than that. And I trust that if it's meant for me, I will run into it and that it will be a yes for me when it does. I know my system will be like, yeah, I want in. I want in with this person. I want a relationship with them. I have not had that experience, but I know for me, a lot of it was because I didn't know myself. I didn't trust myself. I came from a lot of abuse. If I can't trust myself to trust the people that I'm around, how the hell would I trust myself to be in any other relationship? Right? So once you learn to trust yourself, it just becomes what's important to you. Is it important to have a relationship? Like, honestly, I would be asking, do you really want one? Like, if the perfect person came into your life right now, do you want a relationship? Or is it just something that you think you should want? A societal norm? Is it a status symbol? And there's no judgment. I'm literally just asking the question. Because a lot of the time, if you've been in a conditioned by relationship, by all these other things, you want things because you think you're supposed to want them. A lot of the times when I ask my client, we get to a point where we've gotten there, they trust themselves, they know what's real, they know who they are outside of this conditioning, and I ask them, what do they want? They're like, oh my God. No one's ever asked me that question. And I'm like, whoa, this is, a lot of us don't even know ourselves. We don't even know what we want. We've been trained since we were like two. Want the prince in the castle. Want somebody to come rescue you. No. I want someone who's going to raise my consciousness level. I want someone I can be in equal partnership with. I want somebody who can see me, know me, and who wants to be with me. And at any point in time, if that isn't whoever I'm with, then I'm out. I'm like, I'm real clear about that. So I would suggest really getting to trust yourself and really learning, asking yourself, you know, do I want a relationship because it's something I want? Do I want a relationship because it's something I think I have to have? Do I want a relationship because everyone has one and I'm supposed to? Right? And right now what I hear is, I don't want a relationship because I'm afraid. Is it worth the risk? What is that risk for you? Cheryl Lynn. What is it? You say, is it worth the risk? The risk of what? The risk of losing myself to enter one? No, it's not worth it. The risk of entering into an abusive relationship? No, it's not worth it. The risk of finding a love that actually lifts you up, expands you, and makes you feel just the most you you've ever been? Yes, absolutely, 100%. But until you know your boundaries and you can trust yourself enough to say what you will and will not tolerate to someone without being pretty and demure and quiet about it, I would say shore up yourself first. Shore up your self-trust. Shore up your strength. Shore up your faith in you. So much so that now any relationship becomes something fun to explore instead of something you might have to sacrifice yourself to enter into. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. All right, my sassies. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for all of you guys that called in with questions. I really love interacting with you. I love that Spirit gave me no topic today so that I could literally engage with you this way. This is just beautiful. And every single one of you guys from before whose questions I answered to start the show with, plus all of you guys who came in today, I just really just like deep bow to you because I know these aren't easy places to hang out and they aren't easy questions to ask. But I love that your hearts are awakening enough to go, I want into my own power. I want to know how to access this. I want to know myself at this level. Even if you're not aware, that's what you're asking. It's beautiful. And I like applaud every single one of you. And I cheer loudly for you guys because this is deep, deep inner work. This is serious women's work. And I am just in love with all of you guys. So thank you so much for your time today, for listening as always. And should everything continue to go right, I will be back here in the next 2 weeks. Okay. So until then, be well and know that you are loved. All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.